I would like to bear a solemn and a sacred witness today to America and to the world that he to whom you have just listened, President Spencer W. Kimball, is a modern prophet of the only true and living God. I know that, as I know that I'm here before you this day. Because of a concern, an increased concern about our country, about patriotism, about integrity of national leaders by the youth of the church, these concerns have led me to address this subject. Someone has said, though argument does not change belief, the lack of it destroys belief. Dr. Kenneth McFarland, a great national patriot, a great lecturer, in a speech entitled Selling America to Americans, related two stories that I'd like to share with you today. He referred to a young Vietnam War hero who had returned home, and in a quiet moment with his parents, he asked his parents if they loved America. How do you feel about this great country? And after asking them, tears came to their eyes, and they said they loved this country dearly. In fact, we love it more than our own lives. He said, why didn't you ever tell me this when I was growing up? I have been such an ungrateful pup. He said, I had to go to Vietnam to find out what Americanism, patriotism was all about. I love it more than my own life, and I would gladly give it up for this country. I wish you had shared those things with me when I was growing up. And then another incident in Phoenix, Arizona, at another, at the same time, apparently Dr. McFarland addressed the same subject, and he received a letter back in his office. It was a letter written in longhand, and the letter said, my wife and I don't have very much. I doubt we'll ever have enough money to travel outside of Arizona. I was a World War II soldier, and I was taken prisoner. For 2 years, we didn't hear one bit of news about the world and how the war was going. In all those months, I never lost faith. And then he said, and one morning, I saw the American flag and a band of soldiers coming over the hill. I don't know if anyone can understand the love I felt for my country that day and have all my life. I felt the same way the other night, Dr. McFarland, when I heard you speak. You're quite a guy. You just stay in there laying them on the landing deck. All through church history, I've had a few who lay them on the landing deck. I'd like to refer to General Moroni. And it came to pass that he rent his coat, and he took a piece thereof and wrote upon it, in memory of our God and our religion, our peace and our freedom, our wives and our children. And he fastened it upon the end of a pole thereof. And he fastened on his headplate and his breastplate and his shields. And he girded his armor about his loins. And he took the pole which he had on the end thereof, his rent coat, and he called it the title of liberty. And he bowed himself to the earth, and he prayed mightily unto his God for the blessings of liberty to rest upon his brethren so long as there should be a band of Christians remain to possess the land. What a contrast this attitude of some of our liberals and their attitudes. Someone asked me once how I felt about the draft card burner and the deserter. I suggested that they might be taken before General Moroni to be judged. We need to feel again what it means to be a citizen of the United States of America. We need to feel the thrill and the sensation of having the swellings within our bosoms about this country. The priesthood of God should be an example of patriotism and loyalty to our country. As I talk about the United States of America, each one should consider his homeland, his flag, and his country. The scriptures give us a description of this great leader Moroni in this way. And Moroni was a strong and a mighty man. He was a man of perfect understanding, yea, a man that did not delight in the bloodshed a man whose soul did joy in the liberty and the freedom of his country and his brethren from bondage and slavery. Yea, a man whose heart did swell with thanksgiving to his God for the many privileges and blessings which he had bestowed upon his people, a man who did labor exceedingly for the welfare and safety of his people. Yea, and he was a man who was firm in the faith of Christ, and he had sworn with an oath to defend his people, his rights, his country, and his religion, even to the loss of his own blood. Yea, verily, verily, I say unto you, if all men had been, and would be, and ever were like unto Moroni, the very powers of hell would have been shaken forever, and the devil never would have power over the hearts of the children of men. In a letter to Amaron, a warmongering chief of the Lamanites, we catch more of the spirit of this great man. As presently would have said, he was not a shrinking violet. There was no misunderstanding his message. It wasn't watered down or diluted. Let me share it with you. Behold, I would tell you somewhat concerning the justice of God and the sword of his almighty wrath, which doth hang over you, except you repent and withdraw your armies into your own lands. Yea, I would tell you these things if you were capable of hearkening unto them. Yea, I would tell you concerning that awful hell that awaits to receive such murderers as thou. But as ye have rejected these things and have fought against the people of the Lord, even so I may expect you will do it again. And now, behold, we are prepared to receive you. Yea, as the Lord liveth, our armies shall come upon you, except ye withdraw, and ye shall soon be visited with death. For we will retain our cities and our lands, yea, and we will maintain our religion and the cause of our God. I will come against you with my armies. Yea, even I will arm my women and my children, and I will come against you, and I will follow you even into your own land. Yea, and it shall be blood for blood, yea, life for life, and I will give you battle even until you are destroyed from off the face of the earth. Behold, I am in my anger, and also my people. You have sought to murder us, and we have only sought to defend ourselves. But behold, if you seek to destroy us more, we will seek to destroy you. Now I close mine epistle. I am Moroni. I am a leader of the Nephites. Behold, there was a leader. Not too long ago, I saw a movie entitled Tora, Tora, Tora. In one sequence in the film, a Japanese admiral is standing on the bridge of an aircraft carrier. The Japanese have effected the sneak attack on Pearl Harbor. The report comes back to the bridge. The admiral hears it, and then he walks to the front of the bridge and looks out across the ocean, and with a faraway look in his eyes, he said, "I fear lest we have awakened a sleeping giant with a terrible resolve." I think it is time we should all awaken. Our concern isn't about the flames of freedom that burn so brightly in our generation. The concern is in that in the upcoming generation, the fire has never been kindled. Our youth have never known anything but criticism of the United States of America. We need some faithful, free-loving patriots who will issue forth a clear, loud trumpet call, as President Kimball just said, and as Paul counseled, "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare to the battle?" Freedom ought to ring in the heart of every Latter-day Saint, regardless of his country. Conrad Hilton in 1951 gave the following in an address. I quote from a speech delivered by President Harold B. Lee at BYU. Speaking of liberty, he said, "Man possesses human dignity because he is made in the image and likeness of God. It is this image that makes man different, that makes man a son of God. Without this image, man has no free will, and frequently neither liberty nor the capacity for liberty." He further said, "In the struggle for freedom at home and abroad, our greatest weapon is both the sword and the shield, will be our love of and our faith in God." Mrs. C. Gerard Davidson, a Portland, Oregon housewife, stated the following before a congressional committee. "The world may long remember our generation as the last of the educated mind and the educated heart, so sensitive in understanding, so wretched over failures, so modest about our triumphs, so permissive with everyone who wanted to do his own thing that we let civilization go to hell without any curiosity about what would replace it." Rebecca West, a noted British author who attributes current assaults on patriotism to a certain sloppiness among intellectuals in mistaking patriotism for imperialism, states, "I think the majority of your people are outside the argument and are behaving quite sanely. There are thousands in your universities, millions in your country who love their country. This civilized way of behaving hardly rates a headline." This is true. Consider, in the small, hard-to-read type of a congressional committee report, are listed men and women who chose to leave their estates to the United States with comments saying they were doing so in tribute to this beloved land or in appreciation of the freedom and liberty afforded to all citizens. Sails of the flag are rising. The first American Negro general to command American infantry in combat returns from Vietnam, and with unselfconscious tribute to the American dream, this has been my one big chance to make it come true. I did my best. The feelings that made a small handful create a nation that is the envy of the world have been nourished for nearly two centuries. They still exist. In Ether, we read about this choice land. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage, and from captivity, and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of this land, who is Jesus Christ. What a wonderful heritage we have, and we could leave with our youth, if we could just kindle in them the fires of freedom that our fathers have kindled in us. I love this great land. I honor the great founding fathers. I'm proud to be an American. I cannot sing America without tears coming to my eyes and without chills running up and down my back. When I stand with my hand over my heart and sing the national anthem, I'm so proud I can hardly stand it. When I think of all the noble men who gave their lives for this land, then I feel a sacred right resolve well up within me, and I know that we must stand fast. We are the nation's watchmen. No other people collectively love the Constitution and honor it and hold it as a divinely inspired document, as do the Latter-day Saints. The duty of the watchman is to watch over and safeguard his people. And remember the thought-provoking question by President Harold B. Lee, "But watchmen, what of the night? But watchmen, what of the night?" As a generation of those who love this glorious country, we must ask ourselves, "But watchmen, what of the night? Have our youth enough of the fires of freedom kindled in them to withstand the darkness?" We must teach them in our homes, in our churches, in our schools. The sound must go across this land from one end to the other. And now one final word about this great land. Emma Lazarus, in these appropriate lines concerning the Statue of Liberty, describes the migration from all lands to America. "Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land, here at our sea-washed sunset gate shall stand a mighty woman, with a torch whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. Her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep, ancient land, your storied pomp," cries she with silent lips. "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses retching to be free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless tempest tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. The United States of America is the golden door. I bear my solemn and sacred witness that the United States of America is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. We ought to love it, and we ought to talk about it. We need to be true, and we need to have faith. If we do this, God will give us strength to brace against the winds. He will make this country like a giant granite pillar. He will make us a mighty people, a pure people, a Christ-like people, a worthy people, a free people. The Latter-day Saints bear witness, and we know the witness is true, that we have a modern prophet, that the Book of Mormon is God's dealings with a people who had similar problems to the problems we have in this day, and they were a great patriotic people who loved this land. And thus we find the course we must take in following in their footsteps. I bear my solemn witness again to you that these things are true, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.